We're meeting a lady who's in a very difficult situation in 2 Kings chapter 4. You might say that this lady is in a very trapped position, if you will. Her husband has recently died. She has bills to pay and she has children, but she has no way to pay those bills. And it's obviously a difficult time. You could tell that just by the reading of it. As we think about that, though, before we get into the text, I want us to think about maybe some things that we might be facing or have faced in our life. What do you mean by that? What do I mean by that? Well, all of us here know what it means to go through a financial difficulty. That's where she's at, a financial difficulty. What do we do when we have too much month left over and not enough money left over? We're not at the end of the month yet, but we're at the end of the money. That's a problem, isn't it? Can be. What do we do when we have had our heart broken, our dreams shattered, our hopes dashed? What do we do? What do we do when we're walking through a spiritual difficult time in our life and it seems like it's just a revolving a circle? What do we do? What do we do when our marriage needs help and things are we want a godly marriage, but our marriage needs help? What do we do? What do we do when we have a child that we're trying to rear for the Lord, or we're trying to influence our grandchildren for the Lord, and you know, it just isn't going the right direction, it seems? What do we do? Well, I believe the answer to those questions lie within the verses of Scripture that we just read a few moments ago. I believe there are some things that we can glean from this widow's life that will be a help to us. This passage tells us about a poor widow who was at the end of her rope, did not know where to turn, and did not know what to do. Now, but she had a lot going for her, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. But what she did was this. She trusted God. And always, we've been discovering here these last several Sundays that whenever we trust and obey God, God works it out. And so let's journey through these verses of Scripture now for the next little bit of time, and let's see several things, and I hope and pray that God will speak to you through His Word. Number one, we know this already. We see a desperate situation. We see a desperate situation. Verse number one says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Notice this word, cried there, cried. Okay, this is not just a little teeny whimper. This word, cried, means to weep uncontrollably, to moan. It would be the sound that is coming from someone with a broken heart. You know, it's one thing to cry because and I don't mean to make things minuscule, but it's one thing to cry over something that would seem to be somewhat less than your husband dying. That's pretty serious, would we not agree? And yet we can cry over other things. But here we see not just crying over something very small. We see this woman has lost her best friend. She's lost her husband. She's lost someone who she was hoping and planning to maybe grow a bit older together. And so there is a crying there. This is an uncontrollable cry. This is a moaning. This is a weeping. This is someone who has a broken heart. Now, the amazing thing about this was that her husband was a pastor in training. You see that? Her husband was one of the sons. Notice there in verse number one, she was the wife of the son of the prophets. Her husband, who we do not know the name, we do not know her name either, but we do know this. We know that her husband was someone who was enrolled in the school of the prophets, meaning he was someone who was in training. We would say to be a pastor in today, but he was in some sort of training. Notice it says they're a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. So I can surmise this. Elisha would have known this man who died. To me, he would have known him. Elisha would have known this lady, and she even refers to Elisha and says to Elisha, she says, "Thou knewest that thy servant did fear the Lord." Hey, Elisha, you knew who my husband was. You knew that he feared God. You knew that he was in training, and you knew him. It wasn't some just obscure, out-of-the-way person. This was someone who was known by Elisha and someone who I'm sure that he cared for very deeply. Now, under Jewish law, her sons could be taken out of the home and made to work until that debt was paid. So imagine, if you will, this woman has lost her husband, and now the creditors are coming and is about to take both of her sons from her and put them to work until that debt has been paid off. A desperate situation was about to get even worse. Have you been there in a desperate situation? Have you been there in a difficult situation? Have you been there in a situation and all of a sudden, boom, it now gets worse? Her husband dies. Now her sons are about ready to have to be taken and put to work. An amazing situation here for this widow. I'm reminded of the verse of Scripture in the book of Job in chapter 14 in verse number 1 that says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." In Psalm 9 in verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." And again in Psalm 50 in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble." This woman is in a desperate situation. Talk about a day of trouble. Talk about a day of not knowing what to do. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. What a statement that God makes. I will deliver thee. And thou wilt glorify me. Shalt glorify me. So number one, we see that this woman is in a desperate situation. And I think we can relate to her to a point. Maybe not to this level of losing a spouse and about to lose our children. But in some way tonight, you are sitting here in a church. Thank you for coming, by the way. Thank you for being here. But possibly you have right now on your heart a desperate situation. Maybe even it got worse in the last few days. Or maybe you have no idea what's coming this week, because none of us do. But that's what we find this lady in, is a desperate situation. Number two, in verse number two, we see secondly that we see depleted supplies. Depleted supplies. Look at verse number two. The Bible says, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" Okay, Elisha says, "Hey, all right, what do you have in your home? What am I going to do for you? What do you have in the house? What do you have of value? What do you have that we could use to pay this bill? What do you have? Is there something that you have in the house?" And she says to him, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, we don't know exactly what kind of pot of oil this was. It might have been an anointing oil, because again, he was the sons of the prophets. It could have been, who knows what kind of oil. I don't think it would have been, it may have been olive oil, maybe, I don't know. But it was a vial of oil. I don't really look at a picture of it being, because again, she's going to pick it up later. I don't think this is a big 50-gallon drum of oil. I think this is maybe a small container of oil that this lady has. And she says, "It's all I have." It's all I have of any value. There's a great debt. I only have this little bit of oil. Depleted supplies. Depleted supplies. The prophet Elisha asks her again, what do you need? What do you have? Again, looking for anything of any value. The family has their last pot of oil. Now think about this. This widow is staring face to face with a problem that she has no way of solving. Even if she were to go sell this pot of oil, she would not have near the finances to pay the outstanding debt that she has acquired. And for whatever reason, there's debt. Okay? And maybe that's a lesson there too. But I believe there's a positive out of this. She's staring at something that she can do nothing about. You know that's a beautiful place to be? Why is it a beautiful place to be? Here's why. Because when you're staring at something that you can do nothing about, you have one choice. Depend on God. See, when you're staring at something that you can do something about, you know what you'll do? The something. Well, I can do this much, so that's what we'll do. That's how we are, right? We're not going to trust God unless we try everything we know to do. That's backwards. We should stop trying to do anything and completely depend on God. And so this person, this lady comes to a very beautiful place. No answer, no way to solve it. I got nothing. I got this oil. It's not going to help me any. It's not going to pay the bill. So I submit to you that getting to a place where the supplies are depleted is a good thing. Because God has all the supplies that you or I need. And that doesn't, I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about materialism. I'm not talking about that. And if that is the need today, fine. But God has everything that we need. All that we need, we can find in our God. And many times when we get to the bottom of the barrel of oil, we finally say, this is desperate and I have nothing. So now we say, God, hello. Hey, it's me. I need your help. So I don't know that this is necessarily a bad place to be. We would not want to sign up to be at a place where the supplies are depleted. Nobody here would like to sign up. Put me there this week, Pastor Turner. I want to be on the depleted supply list. No, we don't like that because it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? And again, please don't think for a minute here that I'm talking about your finances only. No, I'm talking about every area of our life where we're depleted, and it's a good time to be depleted because then we can trust that God is the only way. We can trust that God is the only source, and we need divine intervention in our life. When you come to a place and I come to a place where we have nothing but God, that's a good place to come to. Why? Because God is everything. God is almighty. God is all-powerful. God is everything. Depleted supplies. You see, the faith that we have in ourselves must be erased. The faith that we have in ourselves must be erased and replaced with a complete dependence on a holy God. What is it that you're trying to do today? Can I encourage you? Stop trying and start trusting. Stop trying and start trusting. God is able. This dear widow woman is in a place where her supplies are completely depleted. Number three. In verses 3 and 4, we see detailed instructions. You know what? I know this about God. God always has a way. God always has a way for you and for me, for we, whatever the right grammar is. God has a way for us to follow. And if we follow God's way, you know, if we follow God's way, it's going to end good. Does that mean it always, along the way, does that mean it's always good? No, not necessarily. But I know this, it's going to end good. It's going to end good because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So it's going to end good if we follow God. And so we see detailed instructions. Let's look at verse 3. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And shalt pour out into all the vessels. How many vessels did she have? How many vessels did she have? One. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. She did this. We'll take it. Perfect answer. She had one vessel. He says, take all the vessels that you're going to gather up and take your one vessel and fill up all the other vessels that you've just collected. You see that? And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when you take your one vessel of oil and you have all these other pots that are empty, I have one vessel here today. You know, imagine if this was how much oil that she had. I don't know, maybe that's about right. I'm not saying that the amount of water, but I'm saying that amount. And then imagine putting this much water into vessel after vessel after vessel after vessel. That's what he says to do. Those are the instructions that he gives. Detailed instructions. Okay, so you have one pot of oil. Now, he didn't say that, but, you know, that's what I'm thinking. You have one pot of oil. And again, I'd written down further ahead a flask of oil, possibly for anointing. It was there. It was in the home. Think about this. It was there in the home. How long had her husband been dead? We have no idea. But that oil was sitting there in the home, and it had been left there, and it had a divine purpose. God was going to use it. Little did she know that every day that she walked past that flask of oil, that little vial of oil, vessel of oil, little did she know that what that vessel would do for her and for her sons, but it was there. In other words, God had already given her what she needed. You know, so many times I think we're waiting for God to give us something supernatural. God does do that. But you know what I believe? I believe God already has given you and me so much. In other words, this oil was already in the house, right? It was already there. That was going to be the source of the blessing, this oil. She already had it. He did not have to give her something that she did not have. The miracle was there within the house. But what did she have to do? Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of the event. She had to give what she already had. The detailed instructions were, in a sense, give what you already have. Give what you already have. And notice he says, borrow not a few. Don't limit God. That's what he says to her. That's in the Hebrew. Don't limit God. Don't borrow a few. Get as many vessels as you can. Don't get a few. Ladies and gentlemen, thousands of years later, can I encourage you? Don't limit God. Don't limit the power of Almighty God. Don't limit what God has in store for you. Don't limit what God has in store for Anchor Baptist Church. Don't limit God. A miracle is about to take place. She has no idea. We have the beauty, all of these, of reading the event. She never had the event written for her. She trusted and obeyed. Number four. Are you with me? Number one, desperate situation. Anybody ever been in a desperate situation? Okay. All right, we're on the same team. Number two, depleted supplies. Anybody ever had your supply level depleted? Everybody else doesn't understand what I'm asking, maybe, because we only had about seven people. Desperate situation, everybody's depleted supplies, only seven. That means you guys are loaded. You got all kinds of supplies. I need to know where you're tapped in at. Number three, detailed instructions. But number four, we see a direct response. A direct response. Number four. So she went from him. Isn't it amazing how the Bible just plainly lays it out here? I love this. I don't understand the Bible. Well, you got to read it. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She obeyed what Elisha told her to do. She went to the man of God and said, "Man of God, you know that my husband is dead. You know who my husband was. He's dead. And I'm desperate. They're coming for my boys. I don't want to lose my boys. I've already lost my man. I don't want to lose my boys. What do you have? Not much. Supplies are depleted. I do have this bit of oil. Okay? Here's what I want you to do." She obeyed what the man of God told her to do. She obeyed. She had her sons go get the vessels. They got into the house. Why do we have to shut the door? I don't know. Didn't ask. They just shut the door. And they started pouring. How many vessels did they have? Don't know. It doesn't tell us. But every time they got a new vessel and they had the oil and a new vessel came, she poured into the vessel and it got full. Set it aside. Okay, next. Took the vessel, put it in, filled her up again. You got another one? Yep. And you know what happened? For some miraculous reason, the oil in this thing never stopped. This is all connected. This is all connected to the trust and the obedience of this widow. This is all connected to the fact that she responded to the way the prophet Elisha had told her. The scene in that house that day must have been quite amazing. The mother with her sons and these empty vessels sitting all over the house. And one by one, "Mom, what are you doing with that oil?" "Well, we're going to pour into all these vessels." "You're going to what?" "We're going to fill up all these vessels with oil. With that one flask?" "Well, that's what the man of God said to do, so we're going to do it." "Okay." They hand her one vessel, and two vessels, and three vessels, and four vessels, and I don't know how many, but every one they handed her, they were filled. Number five. In verses 6 and 7, we see that the debt was eliminated. The debt was eliminated. And it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, verse 6, "There is not a vessel more." How many did they have? All of them that they had in that house, they were all filled with oil. "Okay, boys, next. Mom, we have no more vessels." "That's all the vessels that we had collected. That's all the vessels we've collected." And then amazingly, the Bible says, and the oil stayed. That's it. No more oil. Why? No more vessels. Had they brought in more vessels, there would have been more oil. I don't know that that's a significant thing, but it is true that if they had more vessels, they would have had more oil. But let's look at this. There was no limit to the oil. The only limit was to the vessels. I'm reminded of a story of two men who liked to go fishing on the lake. This particular lake had some of the best trout you could ever catch. Maybe you've been trout fishing before. I just prefer trout eating. But anyway, sorry if you don't want anybody to have fish. But one of these men, it was a very unique thing that he would do. He would bring the trout in, and he had a ruler there. And with this ruler, he would measure it. And if the ruler was larger, or if the trout was larger than the ruler, he would throw the trout back. So he was keeping all of the small ones and throwing back all of the big ones. Well, again, remember I said there was two men that went fishing, and so the man that was with him, and he was watching him do this and kind of trying to figure out, "What are you doing?" And he said, "You know what? I've watched you do this all day. You throw all the big ones back and you keep the small ones," which probably isn't a good thing in the law anyway, but this is a story, so just bear with me. Here's what the man said. He said, there's an explanation for this. It's very simple. He said, "I only have an 8-inch skillet. So instead of going and buying a 12-inch skillet at Walmart for $12.99, Brother Alex, he threw all the big 12-inch trout back." That makes no sense. But you know what? That's exactly how sometimes, if we're not careful, we can limit what God wants to do in our life. This woman did exactly what God told her to do. Notice what happens at the end of the story. It's not just that she paid their debt. Don't miss this. Look at the last verse in our event. It says, then she came and told the man of God. Okay, hey, Elisha, we did what you said. We got all this oil. You were right. Wow, amazing. Every pot of oil is full. Can't believe it. Amazing. Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. And doesn't stop right there. Isn't this amazing? Her obedience paid the debt, but it also supplied for her family for the rest of their life. And live thou and thy children of the rest. The widow returns to Elisha with all the oil that she needs. God has miraculously eliminated the debt. Now, I want you to think about this, and we'll be done. This is an event in the Bible that I've read numerous times in my Christian life. Many of you are new to church, and so this may be the first time you've ever read this event in the Bible. Many of you have read this event before. There is something within this event that we've emphasized over and over and over and over and over again. But it is the key to having the debt eliminated at the end. It is the key for the miracle. And I'm challenging myself here to say this. I'm praying for miracles. This is a miracle. You do not get a bottle of oil like this, if it was like this much, and fill up pot after pot after pot after pot after pot after pot of oil with the oil in this. That is a miracle. Would you not agree with that? Do you not believe, though, as well, that we have a God? We still have the same God of Elisha, the same God of Elijah, the same God of this woman, the same God of her sons, the same God of every miracle that you've ever read about in the Bible. We have the same God today that can do the same miracles today, on the same scale of miracle today, that he can take what he's already given us. Don't miss that. Oh God, you've got to provide this, that, and the other thing. Wait a minute, what has God already given you? What has God already given me? It's not so much what I don't have, it's what the woman already had. The oil in the house. And you know what? When she said, okay, maybe she thought this, I don't know, I would have. This is just the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard in my life. We have this much oil left, and he's saying to pour it into another pot. We might lose some of it. I might miss. We might lose some of what we have. I want to conserve what I have, because at least I can sell this little bit of oil that I have, and I can pay part of the debt off. I don't want to go through the trouble of taking it and pouring it into another vessel and risking losing some of it. To me, the whole story, the whole event revolves around trusting and obeying, but it revolves around, don't miss it, that what she needed for the miracle, she already had. And I don't believe it's any different in my life and in your life. To get the miracles, we already have what we need to get the miracles. She was willing to surrender her oil. And when she surrendered her oil, she saw a miracle. What do you have today? Yes, we need miracles, but I believe God's given us what we need to have the miracle. What is it in your life? What is it in my life? It doesn't matter what it is. Here's what matters. Am I going to hold on to it? And say, no, 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 this is mine. You can't have this, God. God, please do a miracle. God's saying, I'm waiting to do a miracle. When you let go of this and pour it out, I'll do a miracle. I've given you what you need to see a miracle, but if you're going to hold on to it, you're not going to see a miracle. When she poured it out, it kept pouring and pouring. And pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and pouring. Until there was nothing else to pour it in. She could have kept pouring and pouring and pouring if they would have had more vessels. The point is this. God has given you what you need to see a miracle in your life. And me as well, all of us here today. The problem is we don't have enough people that are willing to pour what God has given you, because it takes great faith. I'm not saying I have enough of it yet. Okay? Can we be transparent? We should be transparent. I'm asking for miracles, but what I'm really asking for is greater faith to pour out what God has already given me. Because until I'm willing to pour out by faith, those vessels are not going to be filled, are they? She would have stood there in her house, and the creditors would have come. There would have been all these empty vessels. The creditors would have come. And yet right there in her very hands was what she needed for the miracle to happen. And yet, that's not what she did. She poured it out. God did something miraculous. I'm here to tell you that this miracle right here can be seen over and over and over again in our life. God's already given you what you need to see a miracle. You've got to surrender. You've got to pour it out. Hey, God's already given you what you need to be saved. But you got to surrender. You know what? If you die and go to hell, it will not be because God did not provide you with the access to heaven. This is a great crowd here today. Praise the Lord. I'm pouring out because I'm thirsty. I can't. In fact, Lord, are you gonna do that for this? Not enough faith. Good. I forgot what I was going to say because the Lord wanted me to forget. Being a smart aleck. What was I saying? Going to heaven. Yeah, that's right. Good crowd. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. You know, this is a great group, but you know what? I guarantee you, there's at least one, two, three. I don't know how many. There's definitely people here today that aren't saved. And it's not because God hasn't given you what you need to be saved. God has provided salvation for all men through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've got to surrender. You've got to say, it's not me. It's not my good works. It's not religion. We're not religious. We want a relationship with God, and we can have it through Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not about me, it's all about Christ. God's provided. You've got to surrender. If you've never surrendered to Christ for salvation, why not today? Why not today? Then it goes way beyond that. God has something so special for us, but He's already given it to us. And just pour it out. God, I don't know what it is for me, but I'm gonna pour it out. In other words, I'm surrendering. You're not saved, would you surrender today? Make February 23rd, 2020, your spiritual birthday and trust Christ as your Savior. If you're still holding on to your oil, you know you're saved today, you're holding on to your oil, would you not come down to this altar if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you? And would you just do business? You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to talk to anybody necessarily. If you want somebody to pray with you, you can. But would you come down here and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm pouring out today. That's it, surrendering today. He's given you already what you need. The miracles are coming when we surrender.